You see these? Well, you all and Awana have put all these together, and they'll be delivered soon. They're a pretty special gift to the pregnancy counseling service and to the ladies that they serve. So thank you. If you have a Bible, we'll be in John chapter 13 briefly, and then on to chapter 14. I went back to chapter 13 because that's where the conversation starts. And so let me just quickly read some verses that have already been preached on over the last couple weeks. Verse 31 says, "So when he had gone out," that is, Judas had gone out, "Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately.'" And that's a lot of glorifying going on. But, what did we say? Glory to Jesus. Okay, so we got that verse understood. And then Pastor Jim looked at the next passage, and I want to read it because of what Peter didn't hear and what he did hear, okay? And then a little dialogue begins, but 33, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And so we have what's the primary thought here? Love one another. And you, Pastor Jim presented that to us last week. You know what strikes me? What Peter heard. You know what he heard? Verse 36 tells us what he heard. "Lord, where are you going?" He didn't hear, "Love one another." And yeah, it happens to us once in a while, doesn't it? Somebody's talking away. Bang, we focus in on one thing they said. We didn't hear the rest of what they said. But this going away part, that was a little tricky. That definitely caught Peter's attention. Now, I want to tell you, and so he asked, "Lord, where are you going?" And so Jesus answers, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." You know, Jesus had one of the things about the New Testament, and particularly the Bible, but particularly the Gospels and the life of Jesus, is it's really difficult and challenging to find a time frame. You know, so you're reading along, it's like it all happened at once. Well, it doesn't all happen at once. And let me take you to Matthew chapter 16. I'm proposing to you that for 8 or 9 months, Jesus had very clearly been telling his disciples, "I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die." In Matthew 16:21, he says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Peter heard that. He understood it to some degree. He understood it enough to say to Jesus, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Jesus turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but of things of men. You know, one of the things that happens, and Jesus repeated some things, other passages, and it would say they were forbidden from understanding. Who's forbidding them? Mostly God, but you know who the intermediate agent is? Satan. And so you got to put all that together. That's not the topic of the morning. 17:22 says, we're in Matthew 17:22, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. See, they understood enough to sorrow. It was something they were really concerned about. Chapter 20, verse 17, says, now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. So we're getting a little closer here. He took the 12 disciples aside on the road, and he said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify. The third day he will rise again. See, for months, Jesus is trying to communicate this message to his disciples. Chapter 26, Matthew 26. And now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days, it's the Passover. So we're 2 days prior to the passage we're talking about. 2 days earlier, Jesus said, the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. So with all that preparation, Jesus is trying to prepare these disciples for a very difficult time. And for 8 or 9 months, he's been telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. Peter asks him, where are you going? 37, we're back in John now. 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. You know, this is kind of an interesting statement. Basically, I don't know where you're going, but I'm committed to go with you. Problem was he committed to go with him? You know, Jesus said, will you lay down your life for my sake? And he didn't even bother to get an answer. He says, most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Now, we're going to get into that story in more detail, chapter 18. I was thinking about this. I'm pretty sure Pastor Jim's going to get into that story about the denial. But, you know, the rooster is not going to crow until you've denied me 3 times. You know, another thing I observe here about Scripture in general, particularly Gospels, is that I can't tell if Jesus said chapter 14, verse 1, immediately after he said chapter 13, verse 39 or 38. I don't know. The subject totally changes. And you know, that's just kind of the nature of reading the Bible. But let's just go on, because the subject is, he's not talking about denial. As I've often, you know, for 40 years I've been doing funerals. And I can't tell you how many times I've come to this passage. I've come to this passage often enough that I always wonder, have these people sitting in the audience heard this thought before? You know, a lot of people, the only time I meet them is when they come, we all get together for a funeral in this community. But this passage is significant. I mean, this is the truth here. And what I tell people is Jesus is preparing his disciples for the most upsetting event of their lives that's going to happen tomorrow. Now, I'm thinking for a year he's been trying to tell them it's going to happen. But now he's telling them it's going to happen right away. And so I think what he says to them is absolutely just the best counsel for dealing with death and grief that there is. I don't like to say this is the best passage, but it's a good one. And I just like to share with you what Jesus had to say. And there are actually five things he said. Number one, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. I just want to tell you, death brings trouble. It brings grief. Now, I think he's going to tell these disciples a number of other things that would help them not be so troubled. Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep and died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, folks, it's not about whether or not you're going to sorrow or not. I don't think the goal of Jesus is don't sorrow. He sorrowed. He was grieved. He cried. He did all those things. He was troubled. The question we have is, are we going to be troubled and sorrowful with hope or without hope? So he says to them, don't be troubled. And the second thing he says to them is, believe in me. You see, he says, first of all, you believe in God. Yeah, I say about that. I'm pretty certain nobody came to church this morning that doesn't believe in God. I'm not going to take a poll, but I kind of assume that. You know, people come and they come because they believe in God. And so, and I'll tell you, most of your friends believe in God. Most of the people you talk to about spiritual things, they believe in God. But I also want to let you know, that's not enough. Jesus adds, second level. You believe in God, believe also in me. I talk with people quite a bit that believe in God. You know what? I'm in favor of believing in God. But that really will not help you with your problem. You got to take it to the next step. And Jesus says, you believe in God, you need to believe in me also. You probably know the verse. I didn't write it in my notes, so I don't. It's in James somewhere. Who believes in God and trembles? Do you remember that verse? Yeah, the devil and his angels, demons. They're very aware of God. Have they committed their lives to Jesus? No, they have not. So here's the thing. Step one, if you would, believe also in me. Is that a theme we read throughout the book of John? Repeatedly, over and over and over again. And then he begins to give them some counsel, some advice. And he tells them, 14:2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, I have two kinds of funerals I do. One funeral is almost totally looking back. So I meet with the family, and they tell me all the details, some wonderful, some not so wonderful, about this deceased individual. And so my goal is to honor this person. Now, you kind of know my style. If he's a drunk, he's a drunk. I'm going to call him a drunk. I'm going to try to do it gently. I determined I don't lie about people. Wonderful has its limitations. And so one of my jobs as a pastor is I've got to decide what truthful things can I say about this person. And I'm looking back. I'm looking back. Okay? And there's good and bad things back there. I don't have any problem saying this brother loved the fish. You know? I don't hesitate to say that. Now, but the other kind of funeral I do, he may have loved the fish, and I'll tell you that story, but I'm looking forward to something else. And I think that's significant. Here's what Jesus says. In my Father's house are many mansions. Which direction is he looking? Back or forward? Forward. No hope? Hope. The hope is in the future. The hope is in the future. And so he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And you know, these are kind of interesting words. And you just think about this. Heaven is a wonderful place. I'd continue the song, but, you know, that's what Jesus says, though. It's a great place. It's my Father's place. There are places for you there. I'm going to prepare it even better for you. As I was reading this, what little I know about ancient Jewish wedding traditions, this sounds like a wedding tradition to me. This sounds like the groom is going to his father's place and he's getting the house ready for his bride. And so the next step is, I'm going to come again. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is that great? See, we're looking forward. There's hope. There's hope of heaven. There's hope of a Savior returning for me. A reunion, as it were. But see, it's looking forward. It's looking forward. And so Jesus is telling these disciples, there's a place. I'm going to get it ready for you. I'm going to come back. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So you know the way. Well, that's a problem. You know why? They didn't know the way. What are you talking about? So, Peter asked the first question. Thomas asked the second question. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You know, I respect these guys. How many times have you listened to somebody talk at you and you did not know what they were talking about? And you nodded your head like all was good. I'm understanding it all. I talk with experts. I talk with Phil. He starts talking electricity. I talk with Jay. He starts talking medicine. John was in the church the other day. He starts talking computers. You know, sometimes it's important enough to me, and I have a streak of humble, and I say to them, I don't know what that word means. I'm glad. Thomas said, Lord, I've been listening to you for a while. I've heard what you're saying. I know you're going somewhere. I don't know where you're going. How can I possibly know the way? In our family, we have two philosophies of how to get somewhere. I'm a map on paper guy, and I'm entering into a world of frustration nowadays. I like to see the big picture. Just say, oh, there it is. And I go up here and it's over there and, you know. All my old brethren are backing me up. But, you know, the reality is the other way is, Siri, tell me how to get there. And so we punch it in. I say we. Shara punches it in. And we listen to directions all the way. We did it last night. Going to someplace. Arden Way. That's where it was. And, you know, we follow directions. And so Thomas says, how do I get there? What are we talking about? Sure, I actually took a picture of me. You know, we're traveling through Oklahoma. We're trying to find a hospital. I stopped. I went into this information center and said, and I asked for directions. I walk out of the building. She takes a picture of me. It's a momentous occasion. So I'm here to tell you, I appreciate that Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. We don't, not even I, try to find a place where I don't even know where I'm going. But here you ask the question, where are you going? We don't know the way. Aren't you glad for the answer? The next verse. It's one of our most famous verses in the Bible. Jesus said, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So here are the five things. Believe in me. There's a place for you. I'm going to come again. You know the way. If you don't know the way, I'll tell you. I'm the way. You know, I believe that verse 7, Jesus brings up a whole new topic. So I'm stopping here. You know, people try to avoid death as hard as they can avoid it. But you know what? I never met a person that could avoid it. Oh, it's an awful topic. It's an awful topic. It is one of the key elements of a pastor's life. It's to deal with people who are dying and deal with people who are losing loved ones to death. You know, I've been going every week to Mary Lou's bedside. I never carry my cell phone with me, but I have been for the last few days. For one reason, only one reason. I don't want to miss that call. I don't want them searching all over creation for me. Just call me. I'm coming. It's part of our life experience, our life experience. Our lives are centered around death. Most people, they want to avoid it like the plague. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be around. When I was in the fire department years ago, something traumatic happened. Firemen would come to me as soon as I got out of my truck and say, "Rob, would you go over there and talk to those people? Someone's been killed in this car accident. Would you go talk to the wife?" Families traumatized because so-and-so's dying. Now, all these guys, could they talk? Yeah, but you don't want to talk to a grieving woman. It's too hard. What I want you to be prepared for this morning is I want you to have some hope. And I just want to tell you, you can't have real hope if you don't know Jesus. Every religion I'm familiar with has something to say. You know, there's another earth you can go to. You can be reincarnated and you'll come back as a, yeah, whatever, it's better than what you are. You know, I mean, it's out there. They've all religions have some kind of hope. They're telling you. I'm telling you, it's not true. This is the only hope you have. The only hope is Jesus to get you to heaven. Many, many people look back and they start checking off the good things. He didn't drink that much. He donated to everything. He was a great volunteer. He was a good dad. He was a faithful husband. He's in a better place now. You missed one step. You believe in God? Believe also in Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I had a streak of boldness in me one day. I was in Kansas City, Kansas. I was talking to Shara's Uncle Simon. He's Jewish. So I quote the Jew. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Uncle Simon said to me, "That is very exclusive." He was right. There's only one way to heaven, though. It's through Jesus. And Jesus said this in a context of trying to encourage his disciples who are going to go through the most horrific experience of their life. They're going to lose their mentor, their rabbi, their teacher, their master, their Lord tomorrow. I don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when your loved one's going to die. I know this is the answer, though. You got to have Jesus. He's got to be in the picture. This is the truth about heaven. A lot of people make up stuff about heaven. This is the truth. It's a place prepared by my Savior for me in his Father's house. That's my hope. That's my hope. I offer it to anyone that'll listen. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how smart you are. Don't care how dumb you are. Don't care how rich you are. There's only one way. See, it's funny. I talk to people that are smarter than me, wealthier than me, better looking than me. They got it all together. But you know what I have? I have Jesus. If they have Jesus, then they beat me on 5 counts. But if they don't have Jesus, I win. Because I get to go to heaven. Please, have you chosen Jesus? Please do. Please do. Michael, you had your hand up. You know, Mike, thank you. It's our heart's desire to be there for you in the most grievous time. That's why I'm carrying my phone. But I want to tell you, as bad as that incident was, 2 young people killed in a car accident, there was hope because they both knew Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, death is not something we like to talk about. But Lord, thank you for the gift of eternal life. We're convinced it's only through Jesus. In fact, we don't have any hesitation about that. That's absolutely what we know. It's what we believe. Lord, I pray that every person in this room will have said yes to Jesus for the salvation of their souls. Lord, I'd even pray they'd say so to someone. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.